want something more? More meaningful moments, opportunities, deeper relationships, and memorable experiences. Do you want to make a difference? If you said yes, a career in real estate could be the opportunity you're looking for. Guiding people through one of the most important decisions they ever made, the purchase or sale of their home, can be both rewarding and lucrative. Exit Realty has a revolutionary compensation model, training, and technology that provides you with the tools you need to start and build your successful real estate career. Call me today, Mimi Eubanks, your country realtor, at 843-730-3327. That's 843-730-3327. Or visit exitlowcountry.com/joinexit and make your exit today.
So good morning and great morning to you. Guys, welcome to another fabulous episode of Exit Strategy Radio Show. Hey, I'm your host, Colin J. Millett, broker and owner of Exit Realty, Low Country Group, in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, if this is your first time listening to this show, you, sir or ma'am, are in for a treat. That is because our mission here at Exit Strategies Radio Show is very simple. That is to empower our community through financial literacy and real estate education. So guys, what we tell you often, what we tell you all the time, is that over here, we're legacy building. And we want you to be a part of that because we want you to build your own legacy. See, our word tells us and teaches us all the time about that inheritance for our children and so forth and so on. So that is the basis and the foundation of where we build from right here on this show. We want you to do it not just for you, but for your children's children and so forth and so on. So please continue to join us on this journey. So we've been searching, we've been honored to have on this show some amazing people and some amazing guests. Today, we do not break the circuit, okay? Some of y'all that do a little bit of electricity, y'all know that, look at that circuit interrupted, that light switch turns things on and turns things off. But look here, we're over here, we got the light switch on, we got our foot on the gas, and we're continuing to bring you the best people to this show, to this platform, to help you, to inspire you, to motivate you, but most importantly, to engage with you. And today, I am super, super, duper stoked to have with us an author. And I want to share this with you as we introduce, but we're going to take you back to the basic and bring you back out. We're going to go back in the room. And we're going to come back out again because we're taking you back today. So we have with us an author, a motivational speaker, Terry Tucker. Terry, how are you doing today?
I am great, Corwin. Thanks for having me on. I'm really looking forward to talking with you today.
Well, look, I'm super stoked because you're the man after my own. So first and foremost, let me ask you for our listeners to give a very high level overview of who you are and what it is that you do.
Sure. I grew up on the South Side of Chicago. I am the oldest of three boys. You can't tell this from looking at me or from my voice, but I'm 6'8" tall and actually went to the Citadel on a basketball scholarship, graduating in 1982. After that, I moved home to find a job. I'm really going to date myself now, but this was long before the internet was available to help people find employment. Fortunately, I found that first job in the corporate headquarters of Wendy's International, the hamburger chain, in their marketing department. Unfortunately, I lived with my parents for the next 3.5 years as I helped my mother care for my father and my grandmother, who were both dying of different forms of cancer. Professionally, as I said, started out at Wendy's. Then I switched to hospital administration. And then I made a major pivot in my life and became a police officer. And part of what I did during my law enforcement career was I was a SWAT team hostage negotiator. After law enforcement, I started a school security consulting business, coached girls high school basketball when I lived in Texas. But for the last 11.5 years, have been battling a rare form of cancer, a rare form of melanoma. And then I guess just finally, my wife and I have been married for 30 years. We have one child, a daughter, who's a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy. and is an officer in the new branch of the military, the Space Force.
That is awesome. So look, I'm going to tell you, Terry, what I heard in the very beginning on the south side of Chicago and the number of brothers that you had. The first thing I thought about is, well, he had to know how to fight.
Well, I'm the oldest. So yeah, absolutely.
So Terry, as I alluded to our listeners a little earlier, you're a person after my own heart. First and foremost, you're about overcoming challenges, which is one of the things that we talk about, or some of the stuff that we talk about on this show. We got to start from somewhere. And if you're somewhere where you don't want to be, then you got to figure out how to get to where you want to be. So you're a motivational speaker as well as an author, and you really focus on, if you will, the mindset of people's thought processes and all those things. So if you don't mind, what kind of got you, one, what inspired you to become a motivational speaker and an author? And then what was the catalyst that said, okay, this is what I want to talk to people about?
Yeah, that's a great question. I am by nature a very private individual. It's hard for me to put myself out there. But if you want to be good in anything, whether it's business or speaking or being an author, you have to be authentic. You have to show up and say, this is me, warts and all. You like me, you don't like me. This is who I am. And I mentioned my father was dying when I graduated from college. And my dad had end-stage breast cancer back in the 1980s when they didn't know how to treat men with breast cancer. And they pretty much told him to go home and die. And I remember he lived another 3.5 years. And Corwin, I believe he did because he had a purpose in life. He had something to live for. And he was in real estate. And he actually worked up till 2 weeks before he died. And so I tucked that in the back of my mind and said, when it's my turn in the barrel, so to speak, I need to have a purpose. I need to have something to do. And so when I got cancer back in 2012, and I've had all these setbacks along the way, I had my foot amputated in 2018, I had my leg amputated in 2020, I knew I had to have a purpose. And so people were suggesting, hey, you should tell your story. And I was really hesitant. I was very resistant to that. Nah, you know, my story is not any different, any better than anybody else. But more and more people talked about it. There's that old joke that says when we talk to God, it's called prayer. When God talks to us, it's called schizophrenia. So God has never talked to me. But what I think God does is put people in our path that start to make the same suggestion over and over again. And that's what happened with me with writing the book and with speaking. And I just got to a point where I was like, well, okay, God, if this is what you want me to do, I'm pretty nervous about it, pretty scared about it, don't really want to do it, but I'm going to put myself out there. And that started the speaking business. And it also started me down the road becoming an author.
What I heard in that, Terry, was you had to trust. That's what that, if he gave it to you, one, you had to trust that, okay, you gave this to me to do. So that means I need to do it, but I also need to do it to the best of my abilities. Is I have to give my best in this in order for it to be, if you will, blessed. So one, I appreciate you answering that call because it's needed. You speak from a place of overcoming. Every adversity, every challenge that was placed in front of you, quote unquote, and I appreciate you even opening the door for this in the conversation today, but in Job, people told Job that, well, you should just lay down and curse God and die. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? But that's what man will say to you. What man will give you is that. But you have to believe and have a different mindset in order to overcome that. You didn't do that. So that's why you're still here. So you still have purpose. So again, I thank you for that, for sharing that and opening that door. So what is it that you do that you believe is different than what others would do in the same situation?
I think it goes back to, for me, it started as an athlete. You mentioned my brothers. I played basketball at the Citadel. I have a younger brother who pitched for the University of Notre Dame, another brother who was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers and the National Basketball Association. So we all played sports in college, and my one brother went on after college. And I think what I learned in sports, and for me, it was team sports. And I think for me, it was sports. It can be whatever team you're on, is the importance of being part of something that's bigger than yourself. you realize on a team that if you don't do your job, not only do you let yourself down, but you let your teammates down, your coaches down, your fans down, et cetera. And if you think about it, the biggest team game that we all play is this game of life. And so I learned early when I was 15 years old, I had my first knee surgery and had two more subsequent to that in high school. So the odds of ever playing in college, not alone on a Division I level, were astronomically against me. And I remember when I went back playing basketball, my brain was putting all kinds of negative thoughts into my mind. Things like, hey, Terry, you're probably a step slower since your surgeries, and college coaches aren't going to be interested in reaching out. But I remember thinking, wait a minute, I'm still playing at an elite level, and coaches are still reaching out about the possibility of playing for their college or university. I realized I had to change the narrative. I had to callous my mind. And people ask me a lot of times, how do you do that? How do you callous your mind? How do you just not give in or give up when times get tough? And I tell them it's real simple. You just do every day things you don't want to do. Every day you should do something that makes you nervous, that scares you, that's uncomfortable, that's potentially embarrassing. I need to clean the house. I don't want to clean the house. I need to study for that test. I don't want to do that. We'll study for that test. I need to pay the bills. I don't want to do that. Pay the bills. Do those small things every day that you find uncomfortable. And if you do that, when the big disasters in life hit us, they hit all of us. We end up getting let go from our job. We break up with our boyfriend or our girlfriend. We find out we have a chronic or a terminal illness. You'll be so much more resilient to handle those things when they present themselves in your life.
That is real interesting, because as you're talking, Terry, I'm thinking, reflecting about so many different things that I've heard of, people I've been talking to, and people going through things. And everyone's disposition differs. Some people get the, okay, this happened, and they're defeated, their countenance shrinks, they slump over, slouch over. And there's some people that just, okay, well, let's go. And they're right back in. There's no hesitation. They seemingly don't miss a beat, and they keep trudging and moving forward. And there is really no difference between the two people other than their thought process. So, Terry, if you disagree, please disagree.
I don't disagree. You're absolutely right.
But I believe that we have the same process to make decisions. Some people just get through them faster. That their process is, oh, we ain't gonna wallow in this place. We gonna hurry up and expedite it to get to, okay, this is what we need to do and let's go. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
So, you know, one of the things that you talk about often is how do you embrace the pain and the suffering and other things that you go through in life and do something with it so that you, quote unquote, on the backside, come out stronger and more prepared to deal with whatever else life brings to you. So how do you advise that people get around on this mind shift?
I'll give you a story. And this is a story that is from the Citadel, from my days in college. One year we had a president by the name of James Stockdale. And he was an admiral at the time. He retired as an admiral, but he was a naval aviator. He was a fighter pilot during the Vietnam War. And he was shot down in 1965 and spent 8 years as a prisoner of war in a prisoner of war camp called the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam. And he actually won our nation's highest military award, the Medal of Honor, for the actions that he took while he was a prisoner of war. And I remember being at an event with Admiral Stockdale. He was the president of the college. I was a cadet, so I did not spend a lot of time around him. But I remember somebody asked him, who were the people that survived that brutality, that abuse, that torture? And it was interesting. He said, well, let me tell you who didn't survive. He said, the people who didn't survive were the big, tall, strong, tough guys that thought that they could handle any kind of abuse or torture. And this was interesting. He said, the other group that didn't survive were the optimists. He said, these were the people that figured that they would be rescued or let go by Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter. And when Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter would come and go, he said, those people died of a broken heart. He said, the people that survived were the people that understood what they could control in their lives and controlled it. And he said, for us, it was pretty much the air that we were breathing and the thoughts in our minds. He said, everything else was at the discretion of the enemy. But I think that's where people get in trouble. they try to control things, whether it's financial things, whether it's family things, whether it's medical things that they can't control, that are way outside their purview. And that builds anxiety, that builds a soft mind, that builds fear, and people quit and they give up. And I think that what you need to do is understand what you can control in your life and control that and let the rest of the stuff worry about itself, because you have no control over it. Why bring all that anxiety on yourself for something that you have no control over?
So in that, Terry, I heard the scripture says that let tomorrow worry about itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. There's enough problems or issues you have to deal with today to not have to worry or have the anxiety, if you will, about tomorrow. I appreciate that as well, because again, this is all mindset. We oftentimes are so engrossed in things that are far yet to come that you have no control over. But the things that you have control over today, if you focus on those, then you have the opportunity to better impact what your tomorrow, should you be granted a tomorrow, what your tomorrow is going to look like. You speak a lot, again, from life experiences and stuff, and you share that. Now, you're an author as well. So what's the name of your book?
Sustainable Excellence, the 10 Principles to Leading Your Uncommon and Extraordinary Life.
So 10 principles. Give us one of them.
I'll give you one, and it's one that, in all honesty, it's in the book because I'm not proud of this. I've done this many times in my life, and the principle is this. Most people think with their fears and their insecurities instead of using their minds. And I know I've done that. I know I've wanted to do something or start something, and it's been like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I don't have enough information, or maybe I'm not smart enough. Or what will people think about me if I fail? That's thinking with our fears and our insecurities. And Corwin, I always tell, especially if I speak to a group of young people, I always tell them, if there's something in your heart, something in your soul that you believe you're supposed to do, but it scares you, go ahead and do it. Because at the end of your life, the things that you're going to regret are not going to be the things you did. They're going to be those things you didn't do. And by then, it's going to be too late to go back and do them.
That's very fair, because you certainly, two things, if you will regret, one, the things you didn't do that you wanted to, and the things you failed at that you believe you could have succeeded at. In each of those instances, or each of those places, it is fear that was allowed to influence the income, instead of being the fear, instead of utilizing the fear as a catalyst to say, look, I'm going to do this. I'm scared to death. And what's interesting to even say that, I'm going to take you to a couple of recent conversations, because a schoolmate, classmate, friend of my wife's recently on swimming lessons. And this is the thing. Okay, they're an adult. They never learn how to swim. They want to learn how to swim. So they start taking swimming lessons, and they didn't tell anybody they were starting to do it. They were doing it. At some point in time, they may mention to a family member, hey, I'm taking swimming lessons. First thing the family member says to them, oh, you can't swim. When they go back to their next lesson, now they're afraid again. It's like a reset takes place. And we allow people, unfortunately, you know this by far more than I, or well, I'll say you know this, but we allow people to hinder us because of their lack of belief. Maybe they don't know how to swim, or maybe they don't know how to do this, or what have you. You're learning, or you're approaching it with, okay, I want to overcome, I want to accomplish this. And they will give you something negative or say something to you that basically just, it like hits you like a ton of bricks and just boom, it freezes you, causes you to stop and hinders you from getting those things accomplished. You have a don't quit attitude, Terry. If you look back, and again, South Chicago brothers, you had to learn how to fight. So I'm pretty sure you learned pretty early not to quit, because if so, you might get beat, right? Yeah. But what has caused you to solidify? What was that thing that kind of was the iron being forged and poured into the mold that said, look, this is how we're going to live life and moving forward?
I think I learned early on just how important it was to surround myself with people that were better than me. Corwin, if I didn't know you, but I knew the five people that you hung around with the most, I could tell you all kinds of things about you. What was important in your life, what you valued, what your goals were, what your dreams were, and things like that. So I learned early on that I wanted to be around people that made me smarter, that made me financially better off, that made me have better character, to be more humble and not be around. And I think this is the problem. People get into a group where I call them energy suckers. They just suck the energy right out of you and right out of the room. And all of a sudden now you're around people where it's all about them. It's all about drama. It's all about negativity. And you have no choice but to play along with that because you're hanging around with those people. So I always recommend people, if there's one thing in your life that's going to decide whether you're going to be successful, whether that's in business, whether that's as a family, whether that's in sports or whatever it is, it's the people that you surround yourself with. Absolutely 100%. If you surround yourself with negative people, you're going to be a negative person. Versus if you surround yourself with positive people. And I think that's what our parents taught my brothers and I, the importance of family, of loving each other, of caring for each other, of supporting each other. And I've just taken that from mom and dad and put that into my personal life. Is my wife the kind of person? I remember hearing a guy say, if you want to get married, use these two metrics. Number one, are your metrics better because you're in a relationship with this person? Are you smarter? Are you reading more books? Are you financially better off? And number two, would you go to war with this person? When the bullets were flying and you were tired and hurt and cold and wet, would that person still be there for you? Would that person still support you and love you and care about you, even when you weren't at your best? And if the answer is yes to those two questions, then seriously, I mean, there's other things to consider as well, but consider marrying that individual. But you can apply that same metric to your personal life, to your friends and things like that. So I guess I learned early on that I needed to surround myself with people that made me better. But then that also puts the onus back on you that you've got to make those people better as well, because they're not going to want to hang around somebody that doesn't make them better as well. But all that just lifts you higher as opposed to pulling you down in all that negativity.
That's a very good point. And I love that because it has to go both ways. You should be challenged in a good way. You shouldn't be challenged to, quote unquote, follow the status quo, the gossiping, the rumor. You should be reading. You should be engaged. You should be doing other things, always about the hangout and the party and all this other stuff, all the miscellaneous backbiting and those kind of things. It should be the other way around. It should be the opposite end of the spectrum, where you're challenged to be better at whatever it is that you do, that you should want to be pushed and challenged to the highest level. If I haven't hit my goal, then your friends should be saying, well, what are you doing? And in turn, if they're not hitting their goals, you should be saying to you, what are you doing? Why are you not working at this? Let's go. I need you to push harder and go, because otherwise, why are we even doing this? That's huge. That right there is another point to put in there, Terry, to say that, look, your friends should be there through it all. Don't get me wrong, but it should encourage you to better. And you should be doing the same thing for them. So that is massive. That is massive.
Can I add one more thing to that?
Yes, yes, please.
So I think even take that a step further. Your friends need to be good enough friends that they love you enough that they're willing to tell you the truth, even if that truth is something negative. I want somebody to say to me, Terry, yeah, I know you want to do that, but that's not good for you. That's not going to be something positive. But what do we do when that happens? We ostracize that person. We put them off to the side. It's, oh, hey, you're not agreeing with me. We like people. We like to be hanging around people that are like us. But you need people in your life that are willing to risk the relationship they have with you because they love you enough to tell you the truth. If you have those people in your life, oh my God, keep them. Do whatever you need to do to keep them in your life, because they are absolutely positively going to make you a better human being, because they're willing to tell you the truth.
Definitely. So, Terry, we are quickly reaching the end of today's show. For our listeners, how can people get in contact with you? Where can they buy your book? And how can they connect with you to be inspired and motivated to be? And I'm going to share this with you as you get ready to deliver that information. But the CEO of Exit Realty, which is a company that we have an office, if you will, under, one of the things that she says and it resonates with me about we always talk about human beings, but we're humans becoming. We're becoming our better versions of ourselves. So where can people connect with you in order to get plugged in and to work on becoming better humans?
Sure. So I have a blog. It's called Motivational Check. Every day I put up a thought for the day. On Mondays, I put up the Monday morning motivational message. I have recommendations for books to read, videos to watch. You can leave me a message. That's all at motivationalcheck.com. And Sustainable Excellence is available anywhere you can get a book online. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBooks, anywhere you get a book online, you can get Sustainable Excellence.
Awesome. Awesome. Terry, I greatly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be here on the show with us and for dropping those insights for our listeners. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being a part of the Exit Strategies Radio Show family.
Well, Corwin, thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed talking with you today.
Awesome. Awesome. So for our listeners, guys, look, hey, y'all got some notes. Y'all got some, hopefully some of that stuff spoke to your spirit today so you can take this, internalize it, and make it a part of who you are as you all move forward with your lives. Guys, look, it's time to change our mindset so we can get the results that we're after. Look here, y'all know how I feel. Y'all know what I say. Y'all know I always put the two of those things and I always say it to you this way, which is I love you. And we're going to see you guys out there in those streets.